Come on in and sit on down with Mike and Matt and Clive, or do I mean Nick? Either way, you shut up and listen to the High Horse. We're better than you on our High Horse. Bitch, please, it's the High Horse.
Hello, this is the High Horse Ridecast. My name is Matt.
No, it isn't.
I'm Matt, jackass.
Where am I, Nick?
You got it wrong.
You ruined my intro.
We ruined your intro? My name made your intro better.
Anyway,
believe it, bitch.
On this special edition of the Ridecast, we're discussing all kinds of awesome stuff and probably arguing and throwing stuff at each other, ideally.
On a very special edition of The High Horse.
Way, way back in the 1980s.
84, bitch.
86.
Sorry, continue.
Anyway,
84's
yeah.
Cool.
So, fourth episode, things are going well. People are apparently listening to us, so that's a good idea. That's a, you know, that's a good thing so far.
People
I'm
think
also
my
listening
voice
to
is
us.
Sexy.
So let's get this ball rolling right off the bat here. Movie we're looking at this week is Sherlock Holmes, the new revamp of Sherlock Holmes with, I almost said Johnny Depp, but it is definitely Robert Downey Jr.
He's in everything.
I have Public Enemies on the mind, so, Robert Downey Jr. I think he's a perfect fit for this role.
Yeah, I think actually it could have gone either way between him or Johnny Depp, though. Like, they both kind of have that whole...
That mystic personality.
I want to use rakish in this somewhere, and also Bad Boy with a Heart of Gold.
Like a raconteur, like the band?
Yeah, like the band.
Nice.
Jack White could have played Sherlock Holmes.
Probably could have, he's creepy enough.
Looks like
Excuse me?
There.
What?
If by creepy you mean... sexy?
He's pretty creepy, but it's cool. The trailer shows that it's gonna look, it's gonna have a little the nice mix of comedy and sleuthing and action. Like it's a nice combination.
Kind of like CSI meets Iron Man.
anything Robert Downey Jr. touches turns to gold as well. Have you guys seen Zodiac?
Yeah,
I have not.
Yeah, it was really
to
good.
My disappointment, I have not seen it.
Although that had Jake Gyllenhaal in it, so it did have a place for failure right there.
Jake Gyllenhaal's a really good actor too, so shut up.
He can't quit you, Matt.
Wow.
Dude, I can't quit him.
So anyway, enough jibba jabbering. Let's move into the trailer, and we'll meet up with you after that.
See you there, guys. Bye.
Wow.
I have a request. Someone I want to see. Sherlock Holmes. Mr. Holmes, you must widen your gaze. You underestimate the gravity of coming events. Tomorrow, at midday, the world as you know it will end.
Well,
there isn't any time to waste then.
Is there?
The witness stated that he saw Lord Blackwood rise from the grave.
We want you to find him and stop him.
That'll take every ounce of my not inconsiderable experience.
This may be a hobby to you, Mr. Holmes, but I do it for a living.
It does make a considerable difference to me, having someone with me on whom I can thoroughly rely.
It was nice to see you, Watson.
Complain about my methods before?
I never complain. When do I complain about you practicing the violin at 3 a.m? Or your mess? Your general lack of hygiene? Or the fact that you steal my clothes?
Be a lady?
Holmes, does your depravity know no bounds?
No.
Thank you. you've done. Madam, I need you to remain calm. And trust me, I'm a professional. But beneath this pillow lies the key to my release.
That's called an outro, my friends.
Now it's an intro. Welcome back. That was...
Welcome back, guys.
Trailer. Wow. That was the trailer, Sherlock Holmes. I like the one point when him and Watson, they like go side to side and they shoot their gun. He's like, pow, pow. Or pew, pew,
pew, pew, pew, pew, pew.
Yeah. That's awesome. I don't know. And then there's explosions and he's naked with a pillow and insulting a maid.
That's actually how I sold this movie to my wife.
Was it?
You're that, like, that exact scene.
You're like, he's naked.
I rewound it actually from there. We watched it backwards.
Watched it over and over and over again.
I love that. But I love that scene where he's boxing too, because it even shows like the old school bare knuckle boxing. Now, he like, holds his hands and
now,
stuff.
Now, here's the thing. Does that not remind you of Snatch?
I thought of Snatch, yeah, when they have the
when they were
slow
boxing,
motion.
Yeah.
Yeah. That,
when Gorgeous George fights
exactly.
Mickey.
That's exactly what I thought of when I saw that. Not that it'll have anything to do with the movie, but that's what I thought of anyways. Thing was, the explosions, funny. Like when he throws the hammer at the big guy. You see that
part?
That
was a really Indiana Jones kind of movement, too.
I think like, it was, yeah.
Like, you know how, like the sword, when Indiana Jones, the guy has a big sword and he's waving it around, and then Indiana Jones just shoots some kind
hey,
of deadpan.
Do you know why that happened?
A little fun fact
for you. Wrong. He had diarrhea that day and didn't want to do the elaborate fight scene they had written out.
That's totally different than the last one.
Really?
Yes.
Like, he's just like, I poop rast?
No. He couldn't stop pooping. So he didn't feel like doing that, so they just went with that. He just shot the dude and then went with it. Fun
but
fact.
I guess that's a... That's, but I mean... That was a solid choice, I would say.
Solid.
No, that was a liquid choice.
But it's like, he's standing there, the one guy's got a sledgehammer, Sherlock Holmes pulls out this little ball-peen hammer, and he's like, throws it at him, and it doesn't even faze him. He's like, oh, crap, and runs away. Like,
I don't know. Like when Indy hits a guy with a wrench, too, in that one thing.
When he's fighting him on that airplane, the big Russian dude?
Yeah,
the big German
guy.
Yeah, it was sweet.
Yeah, and I find that same... I think we're going to see a lot of the same kind of... the old school, but still kind of slapsticky humor kind of stuff in the Sherlock Holmes movie, too.
Yeah, exactly.
But alongside, of course, like all the loads of action and the sidekick, and it has all those kind of parts that all the really good movies from our childhoods had, I guess.
Yeah, Sherlock Holmes was always like that. He was just a very strong character, very strong story, very strong environment. Everything about Sherlock Holmes has been fantastic.
No,
and he's super badass, too.
Sherlock Holmes was a novel. It was not a comic, right?
That's correct.
Was it ever made into a comic? Was there ever a Sherlock Holmes comic?
Probably, but it wasn't very good.
Was he in *The Extraordinary Gentleman* by any chance? Am I off base on that?
No, I think he might have had a cameo because Moriarty was in it for sure. Right.
All right.
So there might be maybe there'll be a little bit of influence, like comic based influence.
No, this one is not even a comic based movie anyway. If they're gonna do it right, they gotta do it off the novel.
Definitely. But that's already been done. Like, I'm wondering what the differences between the original Sherlock Holmes and the new movie are going to be, aside from the new age technology stuff.
Well, that's it. They have to dress it up a little bit more for modern audiences and stuff. Because it's been around in... Because there's not just one Sherlock Holmes book. There's loads of stories. Arthur Conan Doyle submitted a whole bunch of short stories to magazines and that kind of sort of thing at the time anyway. So... they've already done lots of little productions for it. They had a TV series, they had a mini series, there's been various movies based off of them. So there's lots of source material in already besides the books to start with. But I don't know, they're going to dress it up, make it modern. Explosions, naked Robert Downey Jr.
Oh, no. Yeah,
fist fights.
Arthur Conan Doyle wrote 4 novels and like 56 short stories about Holmes. So really, there's a lot to pull.
There's plenty of. Story for them to pick out and put into the movie. But this one basically, it's around before he becomes part of the task force and stuff. Like, he meets Watson in this movie and stuff like that. Jude Law cast as Watson. What do you think of that?
I was kind of expecting somebody a little more pudgy. I always thought Watson was like a short, round guy.
Yeah, agree. Me too. Watson's a chubbo.
Do you think maybe they should have cast Jack Black?
Fuck no. I don't want to see Jack Black in any movies like this.
Actually, hold on.
No.
But you know what? He was good in King Kong, and he wasn't his normal Jack Blacky self.
Do you think he's gonna be like Sherlock Holmes is gonna be on drugs like he is in every other?
Coked up.
I hope so.
But yeah,
Sherlock Holmes loved cocaine.
He loved. Yeah, he did.
they make kind of mention to that in the trailers, something about it, like his problem or something like that. So, like, in order to be an official Sherlock Holmes movie, they have to at least make mention to it, because that was his thing, is he was awesome at his job, but he had a drug problem.
He had the demons, just like Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah.
Yeah, or, and
Iron Man. Tony Stark.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing is, House, the show House, is loosely based off of Sherlock Holmes as well.
Don't mention that off the show.
Like, makes a good point though. Like, and the kind of the pseudo misogyny there too. Like, and the lone, he's kind of a loner that hated women. They're both kind of the same way. House is always berating all the women around him, just like Sherlock Holmes does. Like, and Sherlock Holmes played violin all the time, and House plays his electric guitar all the time in the office.
Yeah. Like, I think they based that character off of Sherlock Holmes. Like, I haven't watched any of the episodes of House in like 4 years, but from what it was is I think they've loosely based that character off of Sherlock Holmes. And I mean, so I'm kind of wondering to see what kind of similarities there is out of this new movie they take. Because would you think that they would take, at this point, would they take from old Sherlock Holmes, or would they take kind of like a pseudo Sherlock Holmes based out of both himself and what they've done with House?
They're not going to house-size it to that point, I don't think, but they are going to upgrade it a little bit while still keeping true to the story as much as they could.
Well, House resonates with people somehow. Like, they're going to probably follow in the same kind of lines as that for the movie, just because the formula already works.
Exactly. And that's what I was thinking, right? So, I mean...
But then you also have to stroke the actual fans though too. You can't retard it up too much. Definitely. I say retard it up because I don't like House personally.
I'm not a big fan either. But I mean just in terms of just
like it.
Calling it the way it is.
You would.
But I mean, how many people are going to leave the theater and be like, wow, Sherlock Holmes is sure a lot like House is.
Seven.
the people who don't know anything about Sherlock Holmes.
They're like, oh man, I love
House.
So
in the United States.
That's like, oh, I listen to Fox News every day.
CNN is awesome.
Oh no, now you got conflicting beliefs there.
No, I don't.
Yeah, you do.
Why CNN and Fox both fucking suck.
Yeah, they both suck. But anyway, I'm going to give this one 2 thumbs up. I'm hoping for the best and will gladly go and watch this movie when it comes out. It looks fantastic. Actually, I won't see it when it comes out because it's released on Christmas.
I saw that too.
Not a solid choice for release date, in my opinion.
Fuckloads of movies come out on Christmas.
Yeah, but who goes to movies on Christmas Day?
Santa Claus?
Well, I guess.
Baby Jesus?
Two people will see this movie when it comes out.
6 pound, 8 ounce, sweet little baby zombie Jesus.
I'll check it out. Probably not in theaters, though, because I don't go to movies on Christmas, unless they change the release date. But looks solid. I'd give it a thumbs up. What do you think?
I give it 4 dancing bananas out of 4.
That's pretty decent.
That's what I thought.
Peanut butter and jelly time dancing bananas?
No. Yeah. Oh.
Okay.
I give it 2 houses out of 3.
2 houses and 1 Kumar. Who left?
2 crippled white guys.
2 out of house, yeah.
Oh, man. So anyway, we'll move on here. And we are looking at... we're going to talk about video games for a little bit. And how RPG elements are fitting into pretty close to almost every game that's coming out now.
Just like, add depth, really.
Yeah, like, I mean, like, you can assume that 1 out of, say, every 4 games is going to include... More RPG elements than a normal, because I mean each game has RPG elements to it, but they're including.
Well, not like, exactly though. Like they're putting them into more and more games now, but I'm almost seeing that now it's just like they're cop out, and now they don't want to add extra character depth, extra storytelling. They just throw in an experience point system
and a bunch of dialogue options from NPCs. Stuff. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Things you can learn and ways that you can branch out, kind of thing.
Like, it used to be innovative. Like, you look at games like Warcraft 3 when it added RPG elements to our strategy games, Deus Ex when it added, and System Shock 2 when they added RPG elements to shooters. Mm-hmm. But now everybody's doing everything.
It's like every single Call of Duty game, all these new games, like Infamous that just came out, has an experience system where you get experience from kills and doing stuff, and you learn your new moves that way.
Ghostbusters multiplayer is going to have experience points. BioShock's multiplayer is going to have experience points.
A lot of multiplayer games are using experience to level you, like to create your guy. Which I mean, in terms of multiplayer, I don't think is that bad of an idea.
It's not a bad idea at all. That way, it keeps that reaps play value up. Like Call of Duty, to be honest, I never played a lot of other games like Call of Duty multiplayer stuff like that. Like, I wouldn't really stick around and play a lot of the online stuff. Like Halo, I didn't really play a lot of that. But then the reason I did play the Call of Duty 4 online was to get other weapons and actually raise my rank raise my rank in the server from 3 to 1. But but that's basically the whole reason I played it. Like, it was fun, yes, but every multiplayer first-person shooter and shit like that is fun.
The idea of experience to open, like, unlock weapons and stuff like that, and to continue on your multiplayer career is good. The idea of experience to raise your EPing awareness is bad. Like, you get guys on there, like, I'm using Call of Duty 4 as an example. Your prestige mode is you just play through from levels 1 to 55 over and over again. And you see people with, like, 9 times prestige. It's like, well, okay, good for you. What does that get you? Not a girlfriend.
Not
congratulations. But like the idea to unlock, like, if they would have put it from 1 to 55 and then quit right there because that's when you're done unlocking stuff, then great, you know.
Well, why not throw that extra prestige mode in though?
See, it just for the people that do want it. Something to do, and
yeah,
if you
really.
Don't like it, the guys that don't have no disadvantage if you don't play it constantly. That's one of the big things with experience points and levels in multiplayer is if they don't do it right, it establishes different tiers. One tier, the guys that play the game constantly get better characters, and the rest of us.
Exactly.
It weeds out the nerds from those,
like,
super nerds.
Call of Duty 4 did it perfect, in my opinion.
Yeah.
That's how it needs to be.
But no, we're just waiting for the next multiplayer game to have something unbalanced where you end up jumping into a server with somebody else who's maybe not as skilled as you, but logged an extra 50 hours, so now he's got new perks and abilities that make him just a super killer compared to you.
Make him harder to kill or make you easier to kill.
Or maybe mommy and daddy paid for a new weapon for him.
And that opens up a whole new bag of worms.
Isn't that gay? Super fucking gay.
Where you can, it's just, you bypass all of it and you just buy it. It's like, well, for $20 we'll unlock everything for you. And he's like, okay, pay.
That's called bought gold on WoW though, pretty much.
Yeah, well, I mean,
go swipe your credit card for fake money, and there you go. You got yourself whatever the auction house can sell to you.
It's just it's too bad that it has to get that way. But I mean, when like gold on World of Warcraft's a different story. But like, wasn't it a company? What game was it for that they opened up so that you could just buy all the achievements?
Fuck if I know. I think
I don't remember. No, it wasn't achievements. It was like
unlock
stuff in the game or something you could pay
them
for.
I know, was it Lineage 2 that had like a full cash auction house and everything? Or no, Final Fantasy 11 didn't have like an underground eBay kind of auction thing, like second party auction thing. They had a first party cash buying for item stuff.
Yeah, like when the companies are perfectly aware of what's going on, that's a totally different story. Like, in the case of World of Warcraft Gold, it says in their terms and conditions, blah, 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 you shouldn't do that, blah, blah, blah. They know it's happening, but at least they don't endorse it. Companies that endorse it, those are the ones at fault.
Yeah, and it just waters down the whole system for haves and have-nots. Like, well, we deal with enough of that shit in the real world, and now we have to jump online in a virtual world and say, hey,
that's the thing.
Here I am with some kid with money.
Makes it not worth it to even bother. It's like, well, why would I even put the time in to unlock it when these guys just buy it anyways? What's the reason to get that far?
And that's just one more argument in the favor of single player RPGs, like open world single player RPGs, like the Elder Scrolls series, Fallout, Mass Effect, BioShock, those kind of games have a huge, huge world that a lot of people sell short because it doesn't have the whole massive multiplayer concept. But
yeah. which makes me wonder why Two Human did so bad. I mean, aside from the controls, that's basically what it was a single player MMO.
I never played it. I don't know for sure.
Wait, Matt, I know
I
Matt played Two Human.
I didn't mind it. It was like Diablo. But the only thing that really I stuck around for playing was the armor and like the forging and making weapons and shit like that. But was actually like really good. But the gameplay was tedious as fuck.
Yeah, like, well, it had pieces.
Oh,
well,
you just described MMO, Matt.
And that's
crafting,
what I was just saying. It
drops.
It was like it was a single player MMO. Like you get random drops. Some of them are random, like just garbage. Some of them are rare. Some of them are epic pieces. You can do different jobs and stuff like that. You go on quests. Like, it's basically a single-player MMO. So, I think it had problems with controls. I think that was one of the reasons why it did poorly. But in terms of the game concept, it should have done completely well. You would think, anyways. But the problem with that is, who are they going to brag to that they've got a level whatever?
You just said exactly what I was thinking, is that it's just about the kidlets all showing off to their guildies or whatever, look what I got today.
Exactly. So, but yeah, it's good that they're filtering in RPGs into a lot of games, but it's also bad in some cases too.
Yeah, it definitely waters down some genres. Like, you look where games like Half-Life are going in story narratives where and gameplay depth. Like, it felt like you could relate to the character without having to level it up and customize it to whatever you had. You followed an extremely linear path with no upgradable anything, no experience points, and yet you still bonded with your character and your surroundings.
Exactly. Totally agree. Anything to add, Matt?
No, you guys pretty much covered everything. By everything, I mean everything I could think of. And that's not a whole lot.
We cover a lot on this show. That's what we do. We cover things.
Cover things like stink on some shit.
Okay, so
the metaphors with Matt.
We've talked about this a few times in the past. I am one of the biggest complainers
in the world.
Well, when it comes to a lot of things, it is true. I don't like when things don't go my way, and I don't like when things change for the worse. And that brings us into today's comic discussion. We're looking at web comics today, and we had been talking about this a few days ago. And what had brought it up was, it was either Control Alt Delete or Penny Arcade, one of those two comics, and they go on their either filler comics or their random story arc comics, and we kind of had a little heated debate there going on. And I don't know. As far as it goes, I understand these guys need to take breaks. I understand that they, you know, they can't keep pumping out the same thing over and over and over again. But if I go to Penny Arcade to read a comic, I don't want to read about some serious story that's happening to them about some random mythical beast that they slayed as a samurai, and then move on back to wacky adventures where they're riding unicorns through the sunset or something.
Now, the thing about this is that you would have the right to complain if you had actually paid to view these comics, and this is what you were paying for. This is what you signed up for, was just this. I only want to be entertained in a comedic sense. I don't want to see them taking liberties with their artwork or their storylines or anything like this. This is what I paid for. This is what I want. But it's all for free.
But the,
and
the
you
thing,
don't
the,
have any say if it's
the thing
for free.
Is with the free. It's not free. Do you like the web comic artists get lots of money for traffic and for banner hits, for advertising? Anytime that their name gets put out or their comics get used, they're getting money. So they're getting paid. Just because I'm not putting the money down doesn't mean I'm not paying them to visit their site and view their content and stuff.
Well, there's no money coming out of your pocket, though.
No, but in the same sense, there might not be money exchanging hands, but you would expect for them. And I mean, I'm not down saying that Penny Arcade sucks. I love the comic. I think it's awesome. But it's just, when I go to Penny Arcade, I want to read a Penny Arcade comic. I don't want to read their ping pong storyline. that's not funny, and it lasts for 2 weeks.
I like that ping pong storyline.
I mean, to each their own. Some people like it, and some people don't. And I'm one of the ones that don't.
And that's one of the funny things about it. If you read some of his posts, they often mention, and more than once at least, that they don't like the storyline concept. Like, they like to do one-shots. They don't like to do ongoing arcs and that kind of crap, but they actually discuss some disdain for it. But then they do go back to it quite often. And they are just introduced three more options, that Lookouts, Automata, and Jim Dark Magic. And they're all completely different, though, too. That's one nice thing about it. That, sure, they are going off the beaten path of, like, the one-shot goofy comic. They're doing some kind of fantasy story.
Just a little bit of variance.
Film noir steampunk kind of a thing, and then a jokey kind of magic-y comic.
Right, and that's cool. Like, Penny Arcade at least does it right, because like, they don't do, like, okay, so they do, like, 2 weeks, they do their ping-pong comic, and then for the next month and a half is all good random comics, funny stuff, whatever else, right? Control-Delete, I find, is one of the worst out of them, and the comic is fantastic. When he stays on his storyline, which I've been following since, like, 2001, 2002, when he stays on the storyline, it's great. But, like, for example, when he does the choose-your-own-adventure stuff, not cool. Maybe some people like it, but in my opinion, that's just, it's poor. Like, it's not... It should be something completely different. It's not Control-Alt-Delete. It's something else entirely.
Well, it's the same characters, and it's got a little bit of the same humor. Right?
But it doesn't have same humor.
How does it not have the same humor?
It's not funny.
It is funny, though. No. Like, the stuff they say is funny. It's not all pure seriousness when you read the comics. Like, they'll have little one-lines in there that is very Control-Alt-Delete humor.
The one comic that I'm thinking of... The first panel was a spaceship. The second panel was Ethan talking to a robot that was not funny. Didn't say any one lines or anything. The third option was him getting approached by two bigger aliens, and the fourth panel was him just saying, like, "Oh crap!" And then it was like, "Vote now for your greatest, for whatever happens." And then Friday was like, "Oh, he died. Game over."
But I kind of liked it too, because. When was the last time you picked up one of those Choose Your Own Adventure books that you had when you were younger?
Well, I don't know.
It's something I've never done before.
But
I did it for fucking Goosebumps.
I'm not arguing that it's not a good idea. I think it's a great idea. But I don't think it should be Control-Alt-Delete. It should be a side project. Or be like, check out this new thing that I'm doing. I'm taking a break from Control-Alt-Delete for a second. But, I mean, he could take a break for it and post it on the forums or something. It's something totally different.
Well, he wants people to see it, though. No one, you won't see. Everyone won't see it if it's on the forums. Some people just ever see the one thing.
Yeah, you gotta put it on the main page.
Yeah, but
then he has to draw two completely separate comics to keep the regular storyline going, and then the risk of that is having the actual storyline get a little less
lose its quality.
Good.
He already does that, though. He's got the main storyline that continues on the entire time, and has been, like I said, and since 2001. The main storyline's been going on, and every time that he makes a main storyline comic, it is great. But the times that he makes the Choose Your Own Adventures or the fillers, where it's like advertisements for Mountain Dew, which was funny, granted, random.
That was funny.
But it's like. It's not a comic.
You're gonna cry.
I'm getting frustrated because it's something that doesn't need to be there. Did you guys hear that crack of thunder out my window?
Yeah, I heard it out my window.
God disagreeing with you.
I just pissed someone off so bad. Oh my god. But I mean, I love everything that Control-Delete does, and I mean, I might complain about it, but deep down, it doesn't really make a difference, because like you said, it is completely free. I don't really have much of a soapbox to be standing on, but when I go to that site and I leave disappointed, that's a bad sign. And for
it's part of your everyone's daily routine. Well, pretty much checking webcomics.
Like Monday, Wednesday, and Friday are awesome days for being on the internet because you get to check all the updates that everybody's been doing. And you go through, and it's like, oh, new Control-Delete today, disappointment, and then it ruins my entire morning because it because
maybe
because
you should you should get comics taken away from you for a week. I think just so you know what it's like to not have them, then you'll appreciate everything a little bit more.
I do. I've already experienced that in terms of a webcomic called VG Cats.
Oh, God.
He's like, yeah. I'm going to update.
I said a week, not 4 months.
He's like, hey, look, brand new update. Look how funny it is. And it is funny. And then he's like, well, see you guys next year. Maybe two. And then the worst thing about VG Cats, I used to go there every day. I don't think I've been there in 3 months.
Oh, and that's, like, yeah, that's a really good way to lose your readership, hey, is to just drop off content. That's all you had to do. Like, and delivering awesome content is nothing if you don't deliver it consistently.
Exactly. Like,
and
so
just to show you, too, with Penny Arcade and Control-Delete, so let's say we don't even, let's say hypothetically everyone doesn't love all the comics he puts out. As long as he puts out something, it'll keep people coming back to
agreed.
See what's going to happen next.
I totally agree. And I'm not saying that not that even matters what I'm saying, but I'm not saying that he should stop putting them out. I'm just saying it kind of sucks to go to that website expecting something funny and getting something not funny. Like, not at all.
Then don't go there expecting something funny. Expect to be entertained, but not ha-ha entertained.
But the thing is, what I'm saying is I've been following this comic line for 7 years now. And when he's like, okay, here's something completely useless, and it's something I want to try, and it's not funny, but read it. I don't know. That's just my opinion. Most people don't agree with me. A lot of people get really offended when I talk about Control-Alt-Delete because they're so diehard for it, and I can see why, because it's been around for so long and it is so awesome. But just because it's been around for so long and it's awesome doesn't mean that everybody should love every single one that ever comes out.
I'm not even defending Control-Alt-Delete here. I'm defending authors being able to post whatever, like, fresh new content to their homepage in lieu of their regular content. Like, we should be open to checking out new stuff, because otherwise we have Garfield.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. He tried the Choose Your Own Adventure once, and I didn't like it the first time.
How dare you try it again then?
Then he did it again, and I didn't like it the second time, and it's gonna come again. And the worst part about it is I always want to know what happens next in the storyline. So each time one of those Choose Your Own Adventures comes out, that knocks out an entire month of updates for the storyline, and I have to wait until the next one.
I pulled up a comic, and I'm reading it right now. He's talking to a robot. They get into a ship. They said, come to think of it, I know a guy out of the way on a fence, runs an orbital way station, also to locate things. The robot says, I don't care where you go to die, as long as you do it quickly so I can get back here to watch my soaps. How is that not funny? And how is that not Control-Alt-Delete? Because that's something that fucking Zeke would say.
With his, like, gross indifference to human life?
Yes, but exactly. And Mike even giggled after I read it to him. He's
no,
just
I
being
didn't.
Ignorant. You did too! It's on audio!
It is on audio, and when you hear it, you'll hear me going, but it's, and what I was going to say is, that's not funny. It would be funny if it was Zeke. It's not Zeke. It's some random robot.
It is.
And that's what robots think.
Robot,
no, when robots rise up to come and kill us all, that's what they will think. We are meat bags. And they're going to kill us.
What's your point?
That's what I would expect a robot to say. It's not funny.
Oh, he's saying that all robots are like that.
Exactly.
Racist.
Yes. I'm racist. I'm a robot racist.
Okay, how about this one? Fucking Ethan, he shot out that dude's eye, right? Remember? And he was
no.
like...
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, and he's like, no, you're doing business. And then he's like, you know, it's not like that was your only eyeball. Because he was pissed about his eye being lost. And
yeah,
was like,
Lucas, wasn't it? Did
yeah,
Lucas
yeah.
Eye
yeah.
Lucas,
yeah.
No, I will agree with you. The second Choose Your Own Adventure had a few pieces that were funny, but I would say 80% of it was not funny. A solid 85 was not funny. The first Choose Your Own Adventure, 0% was funny. Zero.
I'm going to pull that one up too.
Do it.
Wrong.
Actually, I will agree with some of Mike's point there. The first one was also shorter too. Like
it was shorter.
Yeah,
well,
that's because they didn't expect him to die so quick.
Yeah, he was following the story arc. But in the second one too, he took away, like, I mean, getting into specifics here, but the first one, it was like every single Wednesday comic was a choose, and then a Friday was a result. And for the second one, because he didn't want him to die so fast, he started taking away the choice, and it became less of a choose-your-own-adventure, but more of just an adventure with choosing sometimes.
No, he did. He just made it him die less.
And he
That's
took the
he
choice
did.
Away. Took there was a few weeks where there was no choosing at all. It was just storyline. sub-storyline.
Yeah, because they had not to actually get it. They couldn't, like, fucking give a choice the second comic. He, like, wakes up from the cryo, and then what does he do first? Take a piss or talk to a robot?
I would choose to take a piss on the robot. Fry his brains.
That wasn't a choice.
It could have been. If he would have given me one.
You can't just make your own choice.
And on top of all this, he's also offering different stuff to different people, too. Like, some people don't get the gaming end of it, but can relate to the choose your own adventure stuff and the plot stuff more than the gaming related stuff.
And
the artwork is really good too.
Like, well, the artwork's always good because he is an awesome artist. But the thing is, it comes down to this: when I go to Control Delete, I expect Control Delete. I don't expect Ethan and the Space Nazis, or Ethan and the Carousel of Doom, or whatever.
But sometimes
the hell
you should be getting what you don't expect, though.
Well, I agree. I totally agree. I'm not gonna boycott the website for those few things, but I do believe that it gives me the right to not, if I don't like it, to voice my opinion that I don't like it.
Well, yeah, it does. Yeah,
I don't agree with what you say, but I will fight to the death to your right to say it.
Well, your main standing point is that I'm not paying for it, but I'm paying for it with a few things. One, they're getting money for me viewing it, so that's
payment.
Hold on,
that's a moot point, because that doesn't matter, because there's nothing coming. The only thing you were paying for it with is your 30 seconds to go to that website.
And
it's
hits, which is actually something that's actually viable, though.
But here's the thing.
Mike draws a really good point.
Here's the thing. You're watching something on TV, you don't like it, what do?
Turn it off.
Well, there you go. Then you just shut off your TV, so you're like, well, I'm not watching that anymore. Game over. Right? But you could.
Yes.
You're not paying for it, so why should you complain?
You're paying for the cable.
Well, you're paying for your internet.
Yeah, but.
It's the same thing. It's the exact same thing. I'm just saying that they get money for it. I have the right to complain. I'm not going to boycott the website. I love the comic. It's great. When he's on the storylines, it's fantastic. When he goes off the storyline, nah, not so much. Sometimes it's good. Most times it's not good. And
I'm just
that's
saying that
that's pretty Control B.
I think it's more important to exercise like creative freedom in that way than even to produce quality stuff. I'd rather see somebody try a whole bunch of different stuff than just try the same high quality but the same constant content every time.
And I mean and things like when he does Chef Brian and stuff like that. And I mean the odd advertisement that he does, yeah, they're funny. Like when he's just basically making fun of stuff. Like, but when he goes off on like the player one through four things, like he did one of those like a week straight. He did three straight comics of just player one verse through four. And like, okay, cool. They hate each other and they kill each other. But where's the point? What's the point of it?
Yeah, that's called shtick comedy.
I know, but like, you know, do it once and then do it again later on down the road again to mix things up. Which is why I'm glad that he's not pumping out a choose your own adventure once a month or once every 2 months or something like that.
That's true.
That'd be a shitty choose your own adventure for once a month.
Yeah, once a month is a little soon. Like once every 3 months. Every third month is a choose your own adventure month. That would suck. People would stop going.
I would expect so. Unless you change the website to Control-Delete to Control Your Own Adventure.
Control Your Own Delete.
Control Adventure Domain. CAD. But yeah, any last pieces to add to that? I feel I've beaten a dead horse long enough.
Nope, that's about it.
Yeah, no, I'm good.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Sweet. So, main topic we decided today was Facebook applications are really, really crappy and and absolutely annoying.
Do you know what's awesome about this?
What's that?
Is I voted this concept in, and what am I doing every day for the last week? Mafia Wars, which is a Facebook app.
You know what? The apps are not bad. What is the groups that are like, oh, so-and-so likes morning laughing.
That's fans. Yeah, man. I hate fans.
Who the fuck gives a fuck?
Quizzes are an app. quizzes are an application too.
Fans was a good idea in sense of advertising a specific thing. Like for blurrypron.com, there is a fan site for that. Okay, so and so is a fan of blurrypron.com. That makes sense. But don't make a website for Sleeping In. Everybody's a fan of Sleeping In. Everybody's a fan of The Weeknd. Everybody's a fan of drinking milkshakes. You know? Like,
Do you know what I hate is the fucking the ones that people create these groups to bitch about creating these groups, or people who have the groups and they're like, ah, I hate this, or they're like, I wish there was a dislike button, and then there's like a Facebook should have an I don't care button. I'm like, well, just because you're bitching about it obviously means you fucking care.
The other
stop talking.
I can't handle the groups that are like, Facebook will close down if 1,000 people don't join my group.
Well, dude, that is, you remember Hotmail back in the day? Whereas Hotmail will shut down if you don't chain add your name mail. To this group.
Magic chain mail. But, I mean, most applications, there's some good ones. I have a few of them signed up on mine that when I first joined Facebook that they're still on there. Some of them are okay. Most of them suck real bad.
Like the hockey pool on Facebook's really strong.
The hockey pool's awesome.
But hell like yeah, it was awesome.
When you have something like, what was it that I saw on someone's? It was just like I'm bad for this because I added one long time ago, but like the quotes ones, where it's just like, here's a random quote from a TV show you don't care about.
Oh yeah, those sidebar ones.
It's like, here's some Friends quotes for you. Ross said this.
Hey dude, I had Dimitri Martin and Mitch Hedberg quotes on mine before.
I had Dimitri Martin. I think I still do because I just didn't erase them. But
mine too. I haven't been able to find it though.
But like some of the games and stuff, yeah, those are cool. But I think the biggest piss off of it is the fans thing. I can't stand that. And not only that, but then they're like, here's my top five. It's like, what do I never leave the house without? I don't care.
Candy.
Like, I don't know anything about a zombie invasion, but here's what I would take for a zombie invasion.
Exactly.
Fucking stupid.
It's like, nobody cares what you think. Keep that to yourself.
And then when they're wrong, it's even worse.
And we are totally right, because that's who we are.
Like here, in my suggestions, BioWare, become a fan. Everyone's a fan of BioWare. I kind of want to click on that right now.
Like, when it's a company or a product, at least that makes sense. When it's something obvious, it's like, Mike is a fan of standing up.
Mike's a fan of penises. Sorry.
Well, I have one, but that's about as far as it goes.
You don't like your penis?
No, you could have said a measurement instead. That would have been funnier there.
Or, Mike is a fan of breathing air.
Oh, four friends are a fan of Captain Morgan. Yay! Fuck, it's stupid.
Like, it's just like, okay, congratulations. What do you want from me? A cookie?
No.
A hero cookie?
Six cookies.
Seven cookies. But, I mean, I guess they're free.
But at the same time, they're costing me room on my Facebook by clogging it up because all my retarded friends have loads and loads of these stupid applications.
But the cool thing that I liked about Facebook is how they added the ability to block applications, because it was getting bad for a minute there. Because like I have a lot of friends on my page. When I logged into Facebook, it was like 52 people want you to join the Timmy's crew, or like here's an application I thought you'd like. Add it right now, and it's going to take over your entire webpage. And you'd get it over and over again from the same friends who don't know how to do anything on Facebook.
So yeah, it's like MySpace syndrome.
Yeah, so you just click that nice little block button and you never see it again.
Like Super Poke and the oh, there's loads in the Fun Wall.
Fun Wall, Super Wall.
In Facebook version 1, pretty much. It was just like, it ended up being so many people had pages just like their MySpace pages, just an unreadable, unloadable 10-page load of crap.
Yeah, it's just a bunch of sparkly animated GIFs.
Yeah.
And music. Like, and MIDI music that you can't shut off.
Like, MySpace is just a bastard child of GeoCities and Angel Fire and Yahoo pages and all those kind of things.
Pretty much.
And then after, of course, MySpace just got passed by Facebook and U.S. users here this week. So, here we go again. And it's going to end up the same. There's going to be loads of saturation, and all the sites are going to be completely unreadable and crappy.
Yep.
And then something else will come up, and we'll all use that.
Yeah, because like everyone made a transition from MySpace to Facebook, what was before MySpace? Was there anything before MySpace?
High Five.
There's High Five. There
High Five sucked balls.
It did.
Still it did. Balls.
I think we called it text messaging.
There was quite a few, and I mean a lot of them. I think the newest social network is going to be mobile based for
Twitter.
People with Blackberries and iPhones. Don't get me started on Twitter. Twitter, we as Blurry Prawn have a Twitter account, which is only used for updates. So like I'll put out like a little thing that says, new podcast today. Check it out. Here's the link, but. Some people are like, I'm in the bathroom. I just pooped. Oh, I'm wiping
Poop
my bum now.
Poop
is coming out. Wiping bum.
Nick
washing
requested
hands.
Help to collect on a loan job in Mafia Wars.
it's like washing hands, shaking hands with president of company, didn't actually wash hands. But it's like, I don't need to know what you're doing every second of every day. You don't need to tell me what you're doing every second of every day, and nobody really cares.
Well, that's it, though, is that that's what the internet's all about, is trying to invalidate themselves. It's just like kids gossiping about themselves and that in high school in the 50s or whenever people did that. It's just now it's in, you have to broadcast it on the internet to make yourself seem like you mean something.
Exactly. So, I mean, and that also falls in suit with status updates, Facebook status updates.
I used to fucking hate Facebook status updates. I just left it for the longest time.
Oh. Nice big yawn there.
Yeah, sorry.
Well, and it's just like with MSN names, we always change all the time. But I remember in like ICQ days and IRC and all that, back in those times, you usually left your handle of what it was.
Yeah, you would never really change it that much. Because usually when you changed your nickname or whatever it was that you said it to, you would lose like settings and stuff related with that account.
Yeah, it updated your account info. Yeah, exactly. And now it speaks to who you are. Yep. When you put a Nickelback song quote or something as your status name. That way you're unique like everybody else.
Exactly.
With your tribal tattoos.
And your...
Crotch watchers.
Your black fingernail paint and plastic rimmed glasses.
Those ones, yeah.
You sit in the corner and read poetry.
God, we hate so many people.
I know.
Such
way
bigots.
Too many people.
We hate people, but we're just all yuppies ourselves, really.
But the thing is,
I'm proud of it.
What we say goes. That's why we're on the high horse.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what we do. We have to judge people, otherwise they wouldn't know if they were good or not.
judging. Fail. But yeah, so that pretty much wraps things up for today. I picked the YouTube choice this week. Have you guys seen this Marvel DC Wolverine and Deadpool where it's like,
yes.
I'm a DC and I'm a Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see it, Nick?
I don't think I have. I watched it without sound at work and then shut it off because I didn't get it.
Random guy, right?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, some random guy. He makes a fucking shitload of those, and they're awesome. And I suggest everyone goes to YouTube and goes to his page and actually watches them all. They're really, really funny.
Yeah, they're absolutely great. So check out this video here. We're going to play it for you. It's just basically a big spoof on the whole Mac and Windows thing, except a lot more awesome, and it has Deadpool in it.
Cool. I can't wait for
that. Toy Deadpool, anyway.
Can't complain. So with that... Have a great one, guys. I'm Mike.
I'm Matt.
No, I'm Nick.
Oh.
I'm Matt. Who am I?
Fish out of water.
And this is the high horse.
And this is the high horse.
This has been the high horse.
Arrivederci, babies.
See you in the promised land.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Huh. So how's this work again?
We just fight over our movies, that's all.
Huh. Okay. Hi, I'm a Marvel,
and I'm a DC.
And boom goes the dynamite. Deadpool wins.
What?
Hi, I'm a Marvel. Hey, come on, man, I made a mistake. I get it now. Besides, they took my guns away.
And I'm a DC.
You know, I always wanted to have my own action figure, and now I am my own action figure. Say, if I look like Ryan Reynolds under this mask, just point me to the nearest Barbie Dreamhouse, would you, pal?
What?
Oh, I get it. Wife, girlfriend. Well, actually, there is someone. For a while, she didn't even know I existed. Her name's Lori. Ugh, beautiful girl. I always thought so, anyway. But, you know, she was with another guy, and that's just not me to go after another guy's girl. It was tough, though. And even when we first got together, it seemed like all she could talk about was him.
Dude, I didn't catch most of that, but I know exactly how you feel. There was this one waitress I was so maybe gonna score with, and then this other dude blew up the restaurant. And she was like a 7, maybe an 8. So, you know, kindred spirits, buddy. Hi, I'm a Marvel. Whoa! Hi, I'm a Marvel.
DC.
I'm really good at killing people. I mean, really good. Innocent, guilty, doesn't matter if the price is right. I mean, I've killed a lot of people who've deserved it, but I'm sure I've killed plenty of innocent people along the way. So, what do you do?
I punish those who hurt the innocent.
I smell sitcom!
Rorschach and Deadpool, a nut and a fool. He's a mental case. Music's not his thing. So I wrote the theme. I'm so talented. Copyright Deadpool. Copy and I'll sue. I think that the song should end right here.
You know what? Maybe you should just shoot me.
You don't die, do you?
Nope. Hey, by the way, who's Alan Moore?
Kidding?